Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, this one's gonna be raw, man. I'm gonna do a real-time update. Okay, as you heard, I was just talking to my sound guy. We are not at my granny flat. Normally, we record at my granny flat in North County, San Diego. And you know, I got my crew, Silent Sound Guy, that's my sound guy, and Sinead O'Connor, my good friend who helps me, and the GOAT, the legend, Whitney Houston, lives on as well. Well, I had to load them all up in my trusty old Lexus and drove up a little, you know, not too far north, but north, up to L.A., up to Torrance, and we're at the Doubletree now in this room, and it's crowded, but we're basically family at this point. And I already recorded this drop before I left San Diego, and it was dog shit. I listened to it the first night I got here as I was trying to fall asleep, and I thought it was dog shit. I was just a little too spun out. And I'm not spun out now, but I am under the gun. And, you know, there's no big blind on my right. It's just I got to get this done, and then I got to go work again at Hustler Casino Live. That's why I'm up here. And Sean Yapel, the GM of Hustler, is the reason I am staying in this nice hotel with my crew. And sound guy, don't steal the shampoo, man. All right, and anyways, so I wanted to re-record this. I almost never re-record a drop, but it was just bad. So I'm going to do it. And my plan was to do it when I was nice and calm and had plenty of time. Well, that's just not the fucking story. I'm just running around like a chicken with its head cut off. That's this year. That's season 4 of Sessions. It's all about the grind. Season 1 was, you know, just me getting my feet wet. I didn't know this podcast was going to become anything. It was just my way of holding myself accountable. I wanted to, you know, talk about the hands I played and whatnot. And it turned into, I got bored of that real quick, and I wanted to talk about the characters at the table. And then in season 2, I kind of went on tilt. And I was running so bad, I said, fuck it, I'm not even going to talk about poker. I'm going to talk about my daughter's 3rd and 4th grade basketball team. And that was the turning point for this podcast. That's when it became my life story on and off. And, it, you know, also every session I play. And then in season 3, it was not only my life story, every single day of it, and every session I played, but also that's when the pandemic hit. And so I did a billion interviews, and I just went in many different directions. And this season 4 has been more focused. And you know, I had a plan to play 2 sessions for 50 weeks. That's 100 sessions. That's what Sound Guy tells me. And I had some goals. I decided that this is such a, what? It's just a huge part of my life. It takes all my energy to do this podcast. That I had to hit some goals, or I'd have to pull the plug on it at the end of this year. And you'll see that it looks like we're going to hit those goals, which is fantastic because I do love doing this. I do love spewing into this microphone. It's my therapy, and I know it's therapy for others, and it's a bedtime story for others, and so on. So, yeah, it's been a little more structured, but season 3 was very unstructured, and it was a sign of the times. You know, we didn't know what the fuck was going on with this virus. The virus sucks, but we didn't know at the time how bad it sucked. And I actually thought it sucked worse than it sucks, if that makes sense. I thought we were all going to die, and maybe we will, but we haven't yet. And anyways, I was doing these real-time updates because I was telling the life story on a lag. Obviously, you know, you got to live your life, and then if you're doing what I'm doing, and then you write it, and then you review it, and then you record it, and then you release it. So it's on a lag. But I was also giving real-time updates for no particular reason other than it felt right. And I haven't been doing those this year. I wanted this year to be a linear story But I am doing a real-time update right now. It's the 7th of September, and as mentioned, I'm at the Doubletree up here in Torrance, and I got my crew with me, and I got to leave in about an hour to go pick up Marley Cordero, and we're going to be commentating in the booth tonight. I believe the game is 5-5-50 tonight, and I'm just getting my feet wet in the commentating game. I really like it. It's a new form of content for me. I'm very comfortable in general podcasting because I've always just done whatever feels right to me, and people have embraced that, or what? Yeah, I think that's the right word. But commentating is brand new. I don't know who my audience is. I don't know what my role is. I'm just kind of feeling it out, and I'll get there soon. And anyways, that's what's going on. I brought my microphone, stand, all kinds of shit. My little Focusrite, I don't even know what you call that, a power source or whatever it is. All my equipment. Sound guy was supposed to help me, but he was dicking around, obviously, before we left. So I loaded up the trusty Alexis, and then, you know, sound guy and Cindy. I'm not sure exactly what they were doing, but I had to get them. And the goat, Whitney, lives on with us as well. Anyways, I'm gonna get into the story now. I just wanted to give that real-time update. The cliffs of that real-time update is I already recorded this, and I was working so hard when I did. It was dog shit. And I rarely re-record because I want to tell the story. If a drop is dog shit because I'm spun out, well, it does tell the story that I'm spun out. Well, it was so bad, I said, fuck that. I'm going to redo it when I'm relaxed and have time. And I don't have time right now, but I am rested. So maybe it'll be better. Okay. Sound guy, sorry, man. I'll get into it now. Week 34 of 50, no biggie, the session plus scoreboard check. It's 12:41 a.m. on Monday, August 30th. So we're back in the story now. I just flew into Vegas a few hours ago, and I went straight to dinner, straight from the airport to 8-ounce Korean barbecue in Chinatown. And then after dinner, I went straight to the Venetian, and I went to a video poker bar, the one just outside the sports book, because I wanted to digest all that meat I just ate at, you know, Korean barbecue. And the way to do that is to grind some video poker and have a few crown in diets. And yeah, I'm going to know I have to play poker on this night, so I need to relax a little bit first. And that's what I've done prior to this. And, you know, so now I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be on this night to start a session, which isn't very ready, but as ready as I'm going to be. And so I just sat down in a 3-5 no-limit hold'em game in the Venetian Poker Room. $1,200 max buy-in. And the patrons know this. I am fresh off my biggest win in years the night before at Ocean's 11 in San Diego. So why the hell am I playing small right after my best win in years, you might ask? Well, with the living expenses that I have, one good session does not a bankroll make. Also, there's no other way to say it than I'm just on fumes, man. Like, just way too busy and sleep-deprived to play anywhere near my A-game these days. And, historically, I play my absolute worst on the nights I travel. So, this choice in poker venues is actually a strategic one. Yeah, go to the Venetian because no one good plays at the Venetian. And for good reasons. It's tilting as hell to play there. So, if no one good is there and the game's not that big, you can't lose that much. And you can't win that much either, but, as mentioned, this year, Season 4 Sessions is not about my come-up. No, it's about staying on the grind. It's about building all my projects, this podcast, DGAF community, and Poker Rags. Build them up and so that I can kind of autopilot them next year, and hopefully I'll have some long-term financial security, right? And it's also about me telling my life story every single day of it, which I started doing in Season 3. And partly for the therapeutic value, it's extremely therapeutic, not just for me, for the listener too, but partly to set the stage for a fucking epic comeback in life and poker next year in Season 5 of Sessions, right? So it's, you know, when you just kind of have an awakening and you're at rock bottom and you're stuck or you're, you know, in debt, $250,000 and you have no bankroll and you're burnt out on poker and you have PTSD from running so bad and you still have a huge monthly nut because, you know, you initiated divorce and your kids are used to living this amazing life. Well, that's an impossible comeback And that's what you've heard. If you've been listening since day one, that's what you heard in season 1, 2, 3, and 4. But you're hearing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, because all my projects, this podcast that started as nothing, well, it's pretty successful. My salary goes up for it every single month. My company, Poker Rags, is starting to take off. We have the pieces in place, and we're just everyone stepping it up away from that, you know, providing a nice stream of income for a very long time, and so on. And so that's what this year's been about. Stay on the grind, as hard as it is. You know, you think you can't keep up with your grind, and I've thought that many times, and then you just do. You just find a way, and then you think you're going to die because you're overworking, but you're not going to fucking die, because eventually you're just going to, like, get some sleep, like I did last night, and you're going to feel fine, like I do now. And also, this year is about me rekindling my passion for poker. So the first 3 seasons, I was just burnt out on this shit and probably made for some funny moments in the session reviews and whatever. Well, I'm getting my passion back. I've run better this year. And I just I don't know, maybe that horrible year, 2017, has worn off a little bit. The trauma has. So I'm getting the passion back where I've risen twice in the No Limit Hold'em live poker world, where I would play anyone at any stakes, and I was happy to play heads up if at all possible, right? And of course, I play full ring too, but that's not my thing. But I'm not there right now, and I haven't been there for a few years. I'm playing pretty uninspired, or I have been, and pretty I'm tilting too quick and all that. Well, I'm getting my passion back this year, and then the plan is, in season 5, I'm not telling my life story, and that's a huge part of my life right now, is telling. That's the writing, and it's just the most draining thing, and it's also the most therapeutic thing. It's why I'm happier as a person, but also there's no way I can play my A game right now. And so the plan is, get all that shit out of the way the rest of this year, keep my grind going, just make it through, and get this fire back. And then in season 5, everybody's fucked again. That's kind of how I feel, and that's how you have to feel. And, you know, they've been fucked a couple times in my career, and I feel like they're going to be fucked a third time. And anyways, that's why I'm at the Venetian on this night after my biggest win in years, which isn't even that big. It's because, A, it doesn't do shit for my financial situation. It's nice, right? It allows you to get, you know, a couple breaths of fresh air, but it doesn't do much for that, and I'm too busy. I know I can't go battle in the biggest game, whatever it is going on this night. It's not going to be that big in Vegas, because I'm fucking spent, man. I am on fumes. I just flew in this and that, and I've been working every day for as long as I can remember. So it's just, it wouldn't be smart to play big. Go to the Venetian, where everyone's terrible, and, you know, because it sucks to play there. And yeah, so as mentioned, it's 12:41 a.m. on Monday, August 30th. And the first note I wrote in my phone is 139 minutes of hell, because Venetian closes at 3 a.m. And I did the math on that. If I'm starting at 12:41, it closes at 3 a.m., 139 minutes of hell. If I make it that long, right? Because I brought 2K with me. And so 2K should last you just a little over 2 hours in this soft as fuck 3-5 game. That's like, you're not going to lose faster than that and then do a walk-off and then go get more money and then go somewhere else on tilt, are you? I don't think so. Okay. The second note I put in my phone is, no knit laps tonight. So the patrons know, in the, you know, this week, there were 3 drops that were private, and 2 of them covered my bonus session, which was my best win in years. And I started that thing off with a knit lap. Come in the cutoff and fold every hand to your next cutoff. It's something stupid that I do occasionally. And of course, if I have a good hand, I'll play it. But sometimes you won't get a good hand and you feel like a proud knit. Well, I wrote no knit laps tonight. Why? Because I just had a nice win. And then I start trolling myself for having a big win. In my phone, this is real. I start talking to myself like I'm Mike McD, but I'm talking to myself as KGB. And I say, so proud, such a big man. And yeah, so I'm making fun of myself for feeling good about my win the night before. Is that normal? I think it is. I don't know. Okay. So let's play a hand of poker. Jesus Christ. You know, you guys love poker. Let's talk some poker hands. So two people limp in this 3-5 game. And you know why they limp? Because they're awesome. And I have queen jack offsuit and I pop it to $25. And I get four calls. This is red chip poker. And so there's 125 in there before the rake. And yeah, I'm in position with queen jack offsuit. It's fine. Ace queen deuce two tone. Okay, I got second pair. Good kicker. They checked to me. I bet 30. Why? Because, you know, I always bet in position and I might have the best hand and I might be able to do some things and whatever else, right? You just bet. You bet small here. A lot of people don't, but I do. Okay. And only one person calls. It's this kid in the small blind. So I'm thinking this guy might be related to Moose. If you recall, Moose is a patron, valued member of DGAF community, a friend. He fucking luck boxes it up in the small blind. Just always calls and wins all the money from there because he's a beast. He's a wild moose. And so this kid calls, and my first thought is maybe it's Moose's cousin or something. Okay. And the turn, because I'm a luck box now, is a jack. So it's ace, queen, deuce, two-tone. Turn jack, does not complete the flush. He checks, and now we got, you know, $180 in there. I bet 100, and he snap folds. So he didn't have an ace. I don't know what he was doing, and he was just, you know, being awesome in the small blind. I respect that. And I bought in for 800, and I wrote, because such a big man. So I'm trolling myself for feeling a little less stressed about money after one good win the night before, because that's what I do, you know. And I'm doing it as Teddy KGB talking to Mike McD after he has that first big win. Stupid, but it's what I put in my phone. And now I have $930 after that first pot. Let's go. Let's just go on a heater. And let's just, you know, let's just get some, you know, get out of debt, start playing big, and then come after everyone. Let's do that. Okay. And something I probably shouldn't share, but if that kid raised me on the turn, I probably would have folded. If I didn't get a read on him, I probably would have folded. And we got masks on. It's harder to get reads. You know, you have masks on in Vegas, not in San Diego. Because San Diego, we vax up. You don't need masks. But anyways, if he raised and I didn't get a read, I probably would have folded. And I'm thinking about my value bets. Maybe like 99% of them, I would fold to a raise. It's true. Just because people don't bluff. And, you know, if I get a read. And I probably shouldn't say that because some of you play with me and, you know, I won't know that you know and all that shit. But whatever. You're not going to exploit me. I don't think you are. For one reason or another. Okay. Now, I fold to my straddle after that, you know, nice first hand. And then it's 3-bet in front of me. So that means aces against kings when you're in red chip hell. Fold. And then the next hand, I'm the big blind and I have black queens. All right, let's go. The player under the gun, the person on my direct left, looks down and raises quickly. Okay, that's a big ace. That's just what that is. Historically, from the beginning of No Limit Hold'em till now and probably forever. Look down, quick raise, it's a big ace. Cool. And now Moose's cousin calls. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. And then middle position looks down and snap goes to 65. He also has a big ace. Okay, and so what to do with your black queens in the big blind? Well, these two dudes are sharing some cards, at least the ace. You know, the under the gun guy might have a different kicker, but the other guy that went to 65 definitely has ace king. I pocket queens. I'm going to charge them now. You're slightly ahead in the flip situation, plus if they're sharing cards, you're more than that, right? So I got a 200, and then I'll just navigate. It's not too hard to play post-flop if you have queens, you know the other guy has ace-king, right? It's not that hard. So I go to 200, and the guy who opened thinks for a second and folds his ace-jack, whatever he had. Moose's cousin folds. God bless him. And then the guy who went to 65 has me covered, and he snap goes all in. And fuck, almost 200 big blinds with queens? Maybe I thought this wrong. Maybe I better fold. Fuck that. Snap call. I know you have ace king, man. I don't say that, but I just call, you know, I just double snap my fingers like that. And the flop comes out. So we got, you know, 2K in there. The flop comes out, jack 8-8. Good. Turn X. Good. River king. And shockingly, this gentleman has ace king offsuit. Motherfucker. I'm stuck $800 in minutes. And I tilt immediately. Yep, fresh off my big win. Next session, I'm tilted. That quick. That's how it goes when you're a grizzled vet. I'm not proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't believe in pride or shame, but it's kind of pathetic and it's real. Okay. And the very next hand, I'm the small blind and I get the bailout. Nice hand dealt. Ace, king of spades. And he goes to 20. Same guy. And, you know, it took a while for him to get all my chips and all that shit. But he goes to 20 and the button calls. And I go to 120 with ace, king of spades. And he thinks for a second. And I say, gamble, man. And he folds and says, I gambled last hand. And you know what? You got to recognize when someone outplays you in the verbal game, you got to just, what is it called? Tip your cap. I say gamble. He says, I gambled last hand. That's pretty fucking funny. I couldn't even be mad at that. And the button folded too. And that 2K I brought, it's all on the table. I bought it for 800 with 1200 behind in my pocket. 800 went up in flames. It went up to 930 and then it got dusted in a flip situation where I just had to call it off because I knew what the guy had. And now I have all the money I brought with me on the table, and that's fine. And when I won that preflop with ace, king of spades, the dealer caught an air ball. What does that mean? I normally tip preflop. Not everyone tips when they win preflop. I tip anytime I win. But I was mad at the dealer, irrationally mad at the dealer, so I had to airball him for this one. And I know it's not right, but I don't care. I needed to do it. And I wrote, I'll make it up to him sometime. I owe him $1. Is this stupid? I don't know. Yeah. Okay, then I have to take a piss because I did have those crowning diets pregame. You know, just Tommy Angelo shit. Get ready for your session. Go play video poker and drink crowning diets. If you guys haven't read that chapter of his book, it's fantastic. Okay, so, but now, you know, you got to take a piss. Come back, post. I have 5 deuce offsuit. That's a great hand. Anyways, someone looks down quickly and opens. Okay, it's a fucking big ace. Well, it's nice that people do this, right? And so I'm gonna call in position with 5 deuce offsuit. Again, wouldn't you, if you knew what the guy had, ace, king, ace, queen, or ace, jack, you would. And the flop comes ace, king, queen, and he bets, and I fold. And then I drink and type. And so I got a cocktail from the cocktail waitress, and she brought it with no straw. I'm not a fan of that, if you've been listening closely to this part. I don't mind the paper straws. People tilt on those things, and I don't mind them. But no straw sucks because there's something therapeutic when you're having a cocktail about just stirring it around a little bit, right? It's just relaxing. You want to mix up all the ingredients. No straw, that's whack. I don't mind the paper straw. Okay. And now I straddle. I get 4 deuce of spades. And this former hotshot opens to 30. What's that mean? Oh, it's just someone who was a hotshot at the Bellagio for a few months. And he bluffed me in a hand or thought he bluffed me in a hand or something. And, of course, I challenged him to heads up. And, you know, he was not out of line, actually. I was just, you know, I'm a grizzled vet. You're going to get that shit from me. Okay. And so now, that's how it goes. He was a hotshot, and now he's just, you know, what's it called? Toiling away? Toiling? Toiling? You know, he's just stuck in red chip hell now. He got sent down. And that's okay. It's probably less stress playing here. Of course it is. There's no one good. He's pretty good, but he opens the 30 on my straddle. And here's all I can think about when it gets back to me. So I call with that 4 deuce of spades, $20 more, and the flop comes out ace, 8-3, all red. So, you know, no spades, obviously, but I do flop a little wheel draw, and I like those a little bit. I check, and now this gentleman, this young guy, he down bets, because he's awesome, and he bets $20, and I call. And the turn is a 7. So I have the nut low, and that's cool. I've had this hand a lot, the nut low. I check, and he checks back. Okay, so he was just doing the small C bet with the miss, and the river's a 9, and I just make it look like value. I just bet 50, right? Just a little value size. I have the worst hand you could possibly have, and he folds. And what do? I tip $2 instead of 1. And then I really wrote this on my phone. I wrote, marker down, asshole. So this really nice older dealer, I was mad at him when my queens lost. And then I said I owed him the next hand I didn't tip when I stole preflop, or I won preflop. And Then I double tipped here when I won with the Nut Low. And this guy's a really nice guy. And he doesn't know that I called him an asshole in my phone. And that's okay. And then I lose a standard $40. And I don't know why I wrote that, but I did. It was just, you know, call pre, call flop, fold turn. That happens. And then I straddle and I have 6-9 offsuit. And I check it. You know, a bunch of people limp. Sometimes you flop something with his hand. And in this instance, I flopped. And that's okay. And thank you, Cindy. How do you like this room? You like the double tree? They have these in Ireland? Yeah. What's... Is some guy stealing all the towels and shit? All right, sorry about that. I'll call down and have him bring up some more. Yeah, so the next note is dealer slow-mo. So part of the reason the Venetian is the worst place on the planet to play poker is some of the dealers are so fucking slow. And that was this one, and God bless her. She's nice, but she's wearing gloves, like lunch lady gloves, and it's just so slow, and it's just hard for me to not be transfixed on those gloves as she's like, you know, cutting the cards and putting the cut card under the cards and pitching a card and then having a conversation, whatever. But that's what's going on, but I will speed it up for you in the retelling of what was going on. So the next thing that happens, so that was my straddle with 6-9 offsuit. Shout out Mike Trout. And then, I flopped nothing, as Cindy told you, and then fold my big blind, fold my small blind, button straddle, and now I have 7-5 offsuit, and everyone limps again. And sometimes you flop something with this hand, but then again, sometimes you flop. That's right. Thank you. What? Yes, you guys can go swimming when we're done with this. Well, I'm going to go to Hustler Casino Live and work more, but yeah, you guys, there's a pool. Okay. Now the dealer who's, you know, she's very deliberate is the best way to put it. She tells me I need to take my capped water bottle off the table. So I have a little Venetian water bottle with me. I order a cocktail and a water. I'm not an idiot. We're in the desert. You need to hydrate. And it's capped and it's maybe, you know, half empty. So there's probably about 3 or 4 good ounces of H2O in there and it's capped. And she says, you know, she stops the game. I need to take that off the table. And understandably, that's my bad. It's a fire hazard, I think, of some sort. But anyways, the next note is whiff. That's okay. I got in there and I didn't flop anything. And I was thinking, I don't even actually play that high variance. It just seems like it because people fucking spaz against me. Like, I don't really play against ranges as much as others do. Yeah, I mean, I do, but when I have a read that you only have ace-king, I'm not playing against, well, what would this guy go all in with here? Aces, king, ace-king, would he go all in, you know, one combo, queen, you know, no, I don't, I said, no, this motherfucker has ace-king. I already know that, so that's why I'm going to always cold four-bet the queens when I think he's sharing cards especially, and it's not that hard to navigate, but he spazzed, he went all in, it's fine, whatever. And then I'm the button straddle, and I have Jack-4 offsuit. Not the best hand, but it's the one that slow-motion lunch lady dealer gave me. And, you know, she's cool. She's just not in a hurry. And Jack-4 offsuit, okay. And this is my next button straddle. So I had to fold a whole orbit, which I think took a couple hours. And here we go. Someone min-raises and everyone calls. So they min-raised either because that's what they do or they didn't know I straddled. I got to call $10 on the button with everyone in there. The flop comes Queen-5-4 with 2 hearts. I have Jack-4 with the 4 hearts. That's not the end of the world. And it checks to the second to last person. I'm the last person. And the second to last person bets 50 into 100. So there were 5 of us in there. And I wrote, he's a grizzly bear. I'm a grizzled vet. What does that mean? I looked at this gentleman, and his arms were covered in hair. He just dark hair. He's a grizzly bear. I'm a grizzled vet, as you already know. And I had already heard in the table talk that he had gotten very lucky earlier, and he has lots of chips now, and he's deep. So what does that mean to me? This is someone I'm going to target as a very good bluff candidate. If you got lucky and you have way more money than you're used to, well, you're not going to stack off as light as someone who just buys in deep, right? That's not rocket science. And so he bets 50, second to last act. I call. I got bottom pair, backdoor, four high flush draw. I'm happy about that. So everyone else folds. Okay, good. The turn is a 10 of hearts. And so I still have bottom pair, and now I have a four high flush draw. That's pretty amazing. But if this guy just bet with a pair on the flop, can he call a big bet here? He cannot. And he's already seen me get it in with queens. And I bet 210. He checks out at 210, and he raises. I say, flush, and he says, flush. And he's a grizzly bear, and so that's good. And, yeah, but I don't mind my play there. It's harder to get reads on people when they're masked up. It is, and whatever. He could have easily had a pair, and I would have won. And then I started complaining into my phone. Also, the patrons know that I was running poorly in the session the night before. I started complaining into my phone, which you got to do. You got to bitch sometimes. It's the bitch to run good play. Don't do it a lot. I don't do it out loud. I do it in my phone. And I wrote, I hate this shit. Make one hand out of 30, one nice session every 4 years. And I was alluding to, that was my biggest win the night before. In 4 years, and it wasn't even that big. I don't know. And I said, remember, it's just a bias, right? That it seems like certain people run good and certain people don't. It's a survivorship bias is what NeuroNerd told me in Slack. And so just remember that. Okay. I open ace, queen of clubs, and the guy who stacked me earlier calls on the button. Okay. It comes jack, 10x, two clubs. Jack, clubs, 10 of clubs. I have a royal flush draw. And, I have different lines. I think my default is to check here and probably check raise a lot and whatnot. But I'm just going to bet. I want him to, he's more likely to call than he is to bet against me. And I bet 50. And I wrote, he folds like a baby. Okay. And then I straddle with 10-9. And it's another limp around. And this time, what do I flop this time? Oh, yeah, I flopped. But it got checked around. And once it gets checked around, I look down to my third base coach, and he puts his arm down his left sleeve, his right sleeve. He crosses his chest. He grabs his cap. He smacks his face a couple of times, and that means he wants me to steal. So I stole this pot. They check around because they don't have anything. Okay, so when the next card comes out, if it's a dumb card below the dumb cards already out there, I'm just going to bet a lot. And then they're going to be like, oh, this dickhead probably has two pair. Well, I had zero pair. But I got the sign, and I'm a team player. If the third base coach tells me to steal, I steal. Now it's time for my worst play. No one told me to do that. I just did it all on my own. Okay, so it's a straddle pot. This is how it goes. You sit down, you straddle, and someone else will straddle. And maybe someone else will straddle. And you'll ask, like, the guy winning, hey, it's your, or you'll say, like, it's your straddle, or whatever. And then soon everyone's straddling, and you have a game worth playing. Well, we're in stage two, where someone else is straddling, and people limp, and I go to $50 with pocket tens. Good. The only person that calls is the guy who stacked me, and he's out of position. Good. So we got 100 and some dollars in there. I have pocket tens. It comes queen 7-5 rainbow. He checks. I bet $35, about a third of the pot, and he calls. And when he calls, he's weak. I know it. Queen 7-5 rainbow. I'm going to continue to bet, even though there's an overcard out there. And the turn is a 9, and now there are two clubs. So it's queen 7-5. I pop. People limped. I popped it. He defended, right? He defended his limp. And it came queen 7-5 rainbow. I bet a third. He's weak. I don't know. I just know. And so I'm going to bet again. And then the 9 completes the straight draw, but he didn't have a straight draw. He was weak, right? And if he was open-ended, he wouldn't have been so weak. And so 9 of clubs, I'm not scared of that card. I bet $100. So I size up here a little bit. And he calls again. So it's queen 7-5 rainbow. And now it's 9 with two clubs. And the river is an offsuit 4. And he leads 250. And I know to fold. I know it. But I don't know exactly why I know to fold. I just know to fold. And when you're playing good, you don't need to think beyond that. It's just fold, man, because you know. You just know this line, this check, call, lead on some weird card. It's just some weird hand. But I start thinking, well, I knew he was weak throughout, and it was a, he doesn't have 8-6 because he would have already had a straight, and he was, he wasn't open hand on the flop. And like, what, really 6-3? Like, what, is he really just playing 6? I don't know. And I called, and he had 5-4. So he just, you know, thought I was bluffing. And he called me down with bottom pair and bink two pair and value bet it. And I knew to fold, and I went against my instinct, and that's bad. That's my worst play. The first thing you think is right in poker. Enough times to just not think beyond that. And it's a problem thinking beyond that sometimes. I don't know. So that I just didn't make me happy. And I called. Then, you know, the next hand of note was my button straddle. I had jack eight of clubs, and people limped, and someone raised it to 55, and I knew we were going to have a multi-weight bloater, right? And I called with jack eight of clubs, and this time I flopped. And you know what? This isn't okay. I mean, it's okay, you know, to not flop anything or to flop nothing. But, you know, when you've done it so many times, it's all about context. Everything's about context, right? And I wrote, this is a fuck you bias. So that doesn't make any sense, but it's what I wrote. And I'm down $1,600 with quickness. So what to do? Sit there with $400 in this game? Go get more money and come back? Nah. Do a walk-off, go get more money, and go somewhere else. So I'm going to take a sip of water as I walk off with my 400, cash it out, go get more money, and then we're going to go to the Encore and see what they got going on there. Need a change of scenery, and let me take a sip of water while we do that. All right, we're at the Encore, and my stomach is fucking killing me. And that's pretty common when I travel. So this is not a note you needed, but I was on the toilet for a while at the Encore. And I'm always writing, always. If you see me in real life and I'm on my phone, I'm not like, you know, sometimes I'm doom scrolling. But most of the time I'm writing notes about my life or my session. And sometimes I'll give myself pep talks. I wrote, get a strong beer and turn the page. Okay, so that's a little CBT for you. And I went out into the, not to the poker room, but out into the main area. There was a beautiful woman waiting for me. She was grinding Panda, a slot machine called Panda. And I had messaged her that I would like an IPA. And she had ordered me a Goose Island IPA. And so I'm gonna sip that and watch her grind Panda for a little bit. And I even grinded a little Panda myself on the machine next to her. And I was running bad there. And I lost $20, something like that. And I decided, nah, go to the poker room. You know, it's time. You gotta run this shit up. You do. You owe it to your listeners. You know, like the people that have been here forever, they want to see you keep going. They want to see you get through season four and hit your goals. And then season five, they want to see it. You know, don't just talk the talk, but you need to do it, right? You need to walk the walk. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense in poker. You need to sit the sit. You need to, you know, make it happen. Okay, so I go, and all there is a seat in 1-3. Sure, I'll try that. Well, before I even get dealt a hand, I get called for 2-5. Good. I have $1,200 now to play with at the Encore, and there's, you know, a bunch of players that I've never seen before, but on my right is Mr. Energy. The guy's probably in his 50s, and he might be on some supplements or some testosterone. I don't know what the fuck, but he's got veins popping out of his forearms. He wants to fight poker, but he's a really nice guy. He's great. I love this guy. And I don't know. Somehow I come in on the button. I don't think in my, what, 40 or 50,000 hours of poker, I've ever come in on the button prior to this. But I said, are you sure I come in on the button? They said, yeah. Or the dealer said, yeah. I said, okay. And I immediately start with a bad play. It folds to me. I have ace 3 offsuit. I open it. That's not bad. Both blinds call. Of course. We're playing 2-5. It's deeper here. This is pretty much like the Bellagio 5-10. They both call. It comes 10-3 deuce. They check to me. I bet 15 again, right? I got second pair. Great kicker. Easily could have the best hand. They both call. Probably don't have the best hand. Turns a queen. They check to me. I bet 40. And I think this is going to look kind of strong. And they both call again. And the river is an X. And the thing is, the small blind I knew had a 10. And the big blind I knew was drawing to something weird. I mean, it was 10-3 deuce, 2-ton. There's plenty of draws. I should have fired the river. And I just gave up. Maybe because I've been running bad on the night. I don't have that much money. And I just gave up. And the guy won with 10-9 offsuit, the small blind. I think one more barrel might have done it. Maybe not. I don't know. But then I get locked. And I write locked and whiff and fold and don't bluff. And sometimes being locked is just not bluffing in spots you want to. Like, I know you're weak, but also you're rich because you're at the Encore. You got diamond sleeve rings. Like, this one dude had these sleeves on his fingers with diamonds. These guys are rich, you know, so don't bluff them yet. Wait till you get something going. And I look at the man next to me, this guy, and he's drinking sugar-free Red Bull. And you know what? I say, fuck this IPA. I'm going to get a DGAF. And that's the drink I've always had. Sugar-free Red Bull with Kettle One, splash of soda, you know, to keep it healthy. And I ordered one of those. And someone else named it DGAF. So that's what it's called. And it's kind of like my spinach, if you're old school enough to know who Popeye is. Okay. And now I'm getting 7-4 every hand. And it's my birth year, but not a great hand. And then the next one is, there are two deep friends at the table. New pros, young guys, friendly, confident. They are the enemy. And now it's time for me to make a good play. Someone opens and I call with ace nine of clubs. And then I call the three bet to 110. And it's one of the new pros on the button. And I have ace nine of clubs. And it comes 5-3 deuce with a club. And I call 150. I check call 150. The turn's a nine, right? And I check and he bets 400. And this kid's, you know, capable of barreling here, right? With a hand worse than ace nine. And I have a, you know, top plus a straight draw. And he bets 400, but I just know when he releases the 400 in chips, I just know it. He's trying to stack me. He has like kings or something. If I had only one guess in the world, it's kings. And he's going to go all in on the next card and hope I call it off with a nine, right? Well, I didn't think beyond this. Like, well, is this really exploitable? If I'm folding this hand, what hands am I? I didn't think about that dumb shit. I just thought, oh, he's got overpair. He's trying to stack me. I got to fold. And I did. And I felt good about it. And they're watching Hustler Casino Live, where I'm going as soon as I'm done recording this. I'm going to be in the booth with Marley tonight, and I was in the booth by myself last night. I think I'll be in the booth by myself Wednesday and Friday as well. Anyways, they're watching this shit at the table, right? It's the best stream in the game. And I like, you know, commentating. I'm not a top dog yet. There's just a bunch of goats to commentate, and I'm the new kid on the block, even though I'm old. If that makes sense. And it does. And anyways, they're all watching this shit on their phones while they're playing. And they're talking about their favorite players. And most of their favorite players at this table it's all Garrett or Art. Either like Garrett or Art. And I'm thinking, my favorite player is Jack. And that's true. And I'm thinking, when these kids grow up, they'll understand. And Jack's the dude that called it off, I think with queen nine offsuit for like 17K, stood up, grabbed his shit. Whoever had a good hand, I don't know if it was like ace king or whatever, tried to say two times and he just said once. Jack's my favorite fucking player, and I mean that. And also I'm thinking, Garrett's your favorite player and you motherfuckers aren't straddling? Well, you know, come on. Like, what is that? Why are we playing 2-5? Why do I have to be the only one straddling and occasionally some other rich guy will straddle? And other rich guy means other guy who's rich. Okay. And then I had a weird hand where someone made it pretty big, which I knew was like a middle pair, like 10s or jacks. I had ace, king of hearts, and I didn't 3-bet. Because I knew it was a flip situation. I didn't have any fold equity before the flop. And I didn't have any access to money. So I just called and I flopped ace XX with two hearts. Just a dream flop. So it was one of those ones where if you play the hand, I don't know. I think I'm more inclined to 3-bet, obviously. But I just knew I didn't have any fold equity and it might just go in then and I didn't have any more money. And it was one of those times where I flopped a lot of something, and I didn't win that much money, as much as I would have, had I 3-bet, an obvious 3-bet hand, you know, it's fine. And now, energy opens, and I flat, I have Jack 10 offsuit, and I wrote, I know I'll never hit, but I have to call. So, you know, it's taken a while behind me, I'm already writing my phone. And, you know, a bunch of people call, I have Jack 10, I know I'm not going to hit, flop comes Jack 10, deuce, rainbow, wow. And checks to energy, and he bets small, 25. I go to 75. You can raise rainbow flops when someone bets too small, and it's not like alarm bells shouldn't be going off for them. I go to 75, folds around to him. He goes to 125, and now alarm bells are fucking ringing in my head. Oh, shit. Is this a super cooler? It's Jack 10 deuce rainbow and I have Jack 10. I'm blocking pocket jacks or 10s. Yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm not like, it's not impossible. And this clickback just feels like fucking, I ran my top two in a top set. I'm going to call, obviously, 50 more and reevaluate. The turn's a deuce. Not a great card if he somehow was doing this with an overpair. It's a fine card if he was doing it with ace jack or king queen. And he bets really small. He bets 80. I'm going to call again and reevaluate. You know, top two. And then the river is a nine, and he bets 350. And so I fold pretty quickly. I can't beat, you know, king queen if he somehow is doing that. Only thing I beat is, you know, a big jack, ace jack, king jack, queen jack. He's rich and, you know, has lots of energy. It's possibly has those hands, but it just wasn't really what I was thinking. I was thinking pocket jacks the whole time, but I just had to like call the tiny bets and I fold the big one and I'm not happy. And then I open jack seven of clubs late. I get two calls. It comes ace king x. I check back. There's one club. I check back. It's debatable. A lot of people check back when they flop a king or an ace there. I was, you know, representing that. I don't know. The turn is an ace of clubs. Now I have a flush draw. They check to me again. And now I bet and I get check raised big. And I fold because someone has at least trips. I'm not chasing no jack high flush draw against that. And so it's not going that well at the encore. But I do get the... So someone opens the 15, he seems weak, and people call, and then I look to my third base coach, and he's like, nods his head, and, you know, puts his arm down, his hand down his left arm, his right arm, across his chest, grabs his cap, grabs his balls, and so, oh, okay, this is a preflop steal? Okay, and I make it $100, and they all fold, and someone says, he was afraid of a bad beat. And that's true, I am afraid of bad beats, but also, I had 10-5 of hearts. Okay, now... I call $80. I open and call a 3-bet to 80 with ace queen of clubs and it's 4-way action. Let's go. It comes ace 10x. We all check. The turn is a jack and I bet 175. I have top pair plus draws. There are now three spades on the board, so I can't check. And some guy goes all in for 275. And it wasn't the preflop raiser. They all folded. It's 100 more to me. Obviously, I call and he says, "You have a flush?" And I said, fuck, no, man. And he had ace 10 offsuit, and so he flopped two pair. I have plenty of outs, right? It's ace 10x, jack. I can hit a queen, a king, a jack, and I hit none of them. And he wins, and now energy, man, comes back to the table. And he says, if you tell me what you had, I'll tell you what I had that hand. I said, oh, man, I had jack 10. And he said, I had pocket jacks. Okay, just what I thought. You know, that's... If it comes jack 10 deuce and you have jack 10 and the guy's pocket jacks, that means God hates you. It's true. What? No, Cindy, I'm joking. Okay. Anyways. Wow. So quickly, after my first good win in forever, it feels like I got doom switched. I'm already going to, you know, lose about half of what I won. And it wasn't that good of a win, but I haven't run hot in any big pots or any big games. I just haven't for years, and that's how it can go. It's okay. I don't know, I just got to stay alive until next year. I don't know. And anyways, I have $350 left. Fuck my life. Out of $2,800. And people limp, and I go to $50 with ace 5 offsuit because I'm a solid pro. And what only Energy Man calls, and he's on my right, and it comes 9-5 deuce rainbow, and he puts me all in, right? And it just seems like my hand's good here. And I call, and he has pocket threes, 9-5 deuce. I have ace 5, and he doesn't hit a 3 or running straight. And I get the crucial double to $700, a life. If you got a life, you got a chance, as a wise person never said. Okay, what do we got here? So $700, I'm flush. I'm red chip flush right now. And I have ace 10 offsuit, and I call 70. It's one of the new pros that's, you know, watching High Stakes Hustler Casino live on his phone. And, you know, he 3-bets a week open to 70. And we're 4-ways, 280 out there. I got ace 10 offsuit. And it comes 10-9x, all hearts. I have top and the nut flush draw. This is a hand I'm going all in on. And I'm going to check it to the new pro, let him bet. And he does. I stuff it. And they fold. And he calls immediately. Okay, I need to hit. The turn is an offsuit deuce, so it's 10-9 eggs, deuce, and the river is a queen that's not a heart. And I turn over my hand, and he turns over jack 10 of diamonds. So he was in a lot of trouble against my hand, and I actually got the double here, and it's pretty sick. Now I went from 350 to 1400, like a real luck box, and then this song comes on. What is this shit? Okay, it's 4 a.m. Buzz. I just got two doubles in a row though. I need some shelter of my own protection, baby. Alright, I like it. Oh, this is Fergie. I remember this. Alright, let's get these fuckers. Okay, so I don't have any Fergie music. I haven't never downloaded any, and I don't know much about her. And I've heard that song a bunch of times, but never did it strike me. And it struck me in this moment, just the chorus, the, you know, this has nothing to do with you. I just really appreciate when people, you know, aren't afraid to admit that they have demons and that they wrestle with them and they get through life with them. And I don't know, that shit just hit me. And I was digging this fucking Fergie song. And also, there's nothing wrong with being gay. I've never been gay, but I was kind of feeling that song. And if that makes me gay, then I'm fucking gay. I don't care. But yeah, it just kind of struck me and I wanted to, you know, just try and tell the story of the session. And I got King Queen Offsuit on the button. And someone makes it $35 under the gun because it's my button straddle. And I call three-way action, King Queen Offsuit, and it comes Jack 10, 8, Rainbow. The person bets. I call. I have, you know, two over cards open-ended. The turn pair is the bottom card. That person bets again, and I fold. And I think it was right. I think they were strong, and, you know, I didn't have the outs you can have. Sometimes with King Queen on Jack 10, 8, you can be up against some weak-ass hand. This is the guy that opened under the gun on my straddle. I thought he was very strong, and maybe even has aces, and then I'm really in trouble then. But I felt a little weak, and I said, I need to pound this DGAF and get another one. And so I played the hand well, but I felt like a baby. And so I finished my sugar-free Red Bull with Kettle One, splash of soda, and I ordered another one. And then I immediately made my best play. I tried to ISO someone with King 6 of hearts, and it didn't work. Four-way action. Came 8-6 deuce, two clubs. They checked to me, I bet. And one of the new pros, who's kind of punting at this point, the guy who doubled me up when I had ace 10, he raises here, and this is the one capable player at the table, so I have to call with king 6 on 8-6 deuce, two clubs. And the turn's a 6, and he bets again, and I call. I have trips, and the river's a brick, and he looks at the dealer and says all in and squirts a yellow bird in there. And, you know, I have a huge hand. I have trips, king kicker against the one capable player at the table. But I just know, when you know, you know. And I knew, and I thought for a while, like, you know to fold here, man. Even though this is the one kid capable of having like a misdraw or whatever, just some weird hand, because he's been on a heater, obviously. Anyone at a poker table has been on a heater, you know, in general. Anyways, I folded. So if I called, I'm pretty sure I would have lost, you know, I'm almost positive I would have lost, and I would have lost 2,800 and been, you know, done for the night. But now I still got 700, and I can see what's up. And I get pocket fours, and we got a seven-way bloater. And unfortunately, I'm going to need Whitney Houston to tell you what I flopped. Nothing. That's okay, though. We're still alive. And we actually got the free turn needle. What's that? It's when you have that perfect hand for the multi-way bloater, and you know, you whiff the flop. You have the pocket four, seven-way bloater, and you whiff. And then everyone checks, so you're like, oh, well, I get the free turn, and you whiff that too. And then what happened after this was pretty interesting. I had top pair and some backdoor stuff with 9-7 suited, and someone who had just kind of played slow preflop, check raised, not big, and the turn was a 9, and so I turned trips, and he bet again, and I called, and the river was a brick, and he bet again, pretty big, and I called, and he had an overpair. He was kind of button clicking, and I won a nice pot, and then I went into max destroy mode. That's what I wrote in my phone, and that's what's going to happen if I got sugar-free Red Bull, Kettle One, and splash of soda running through my veins. I just kind of turned it on, and people kept trying to bluff my small river. I just got locked, basically, and like I would raise with Queen Jack, I would bet on King 10X, the turn would be a Jack, and I would check back, and the river would be an X, and like I know no one can call me, and it's pretty thin, right, when you have Queen Jack to be betting on King 10X, Jack X, and I just bet really small, and some guy went for it with a huge check raise. And I just, he hadn't done any bluffing all night. I just didn't believe him. And I called, and he just folded his hand. And then I had king, queen, and I 3-bet, and I C-bet on 4-4-3, and I got the luck box turn of a queen. And I checked back, and then the river's a brick, and energy just led gigantic too. And I called, and I was good. And I was pouncing on weakness. I was folding against strength. And I wrote, I might get even. I'm in for 2,800, and suddenly I have 2,500 and change. And it's time for my best play. Okay, and I gotta hurry up, man. I gotta go to work. Okay, so my best play, the straddle's on, and some guy opens, and I say gamble, and I call with 5-3 of clubs in position. And now the kid who's been punting, and just, I made that big fold with trips against him, he goes to 240 in the small blind, and the opener calls. I say, fuck it, I'll call. You know, we are deep. He's got me covered, and I'm going to call here. I'm going to gamble three ways in position. I'm pretty good after the flop. And there's 720 in there. I got 5-3 of clubs. It comes very nice for me. 9-8-5 of two clubs. And they checked to me. I bet $410 and into 720. And the preflop raiser goes to 1100. And the other person folds and gets back to me. And I just go snap all in for about 1100, 1200 more. And now he starts thinking, I start talking to him. I say, okay, I guess you don't have a flush then, flush draw then. And he says, well, I said, I thought you had like the flush nut flush draw or something. He says, no, you have the nut flush draw. I said, no, I promise you I don't. It's true. I don't even have to lie. And then he stirs around for a little bit. And he says, why would you go all in with top set? I said, I don't have that either, man. I promise you. And he's staring at me and I'm just, you know, sipping my drink, looking as calm as a cucumber, and I'm just thinking, please fold your overpair, kid. I don't trust this dealer to put a 5-3 or a club out there. And it's probably 5 minutes of this kid tanking and staring and talking to me, and I'm just so relaxed, and I'm just, you know, he says, show one. I said, no, I will show you both of them after you decide what you're going to do. If you call, obviously I'm going to show you both, but if you fold, I'll show you both. But I'm not showing you any more, or I'm not telling you anything more about my hand right now. And he finally folds his hand, and then I show him, and he goes on tilt. When he first took his line, so he's a decent player. He's not as good as he thinks he is, not even close, but, and that's not a diss. That's just my objective opinion. But when he first went to 1100, I thought it might be just some spaz bluff, right? And it's possible, like just, oh, I'm going to try and bluff here because this guy, you know, might not want to stack off. Yes, I do. I want to stack off. So I thought that, but after 5 minutes, it was clear. No, he just took a weird line with an overpair. And, you know, he is in a lot of trouble if I flopped a straight or a set. And I already told him, I said I was worried. I said, oh, good. You don't have a flush draw. And then he said, what? And I said, well, I thought you had the nut flush draw. I was worried about that. And he's like, no, you do. And I'm like, no, I don't. And so I was able, I don't like lying. So I was able to not lie and trick him a little bit. And yeah, he folded. And now his friend, they're the two friends, and now they're mad at each other. And he's talking about range advantage. His friend's talking about range advantage and shit. And I'm thinking, yeah, my friend, Irie guy, has a Range Rover. And I'd like to have one myself someday. So let's keep playing. Let's stop talking. I don't know. Stupid. But I start putting on a clinic, an overbet clinic, where you have momentum, you've shown the big bluff, you've called against weak hands, and it's just, you have all the momentum, right? And so I've raised with queen five of spades, it comes 10, deuce, three, red. Well, no one has two pair on that shit. You got a set, God bless you. Can you call a bunch on the flop? No, you can't. And so I just started doing this, and that kid who doubled me up and then put in 1,100 and folded, he went off. He lost a nice number, not to me anymore, but to other people, and it really set him off. New pros got to learn. They do. And I had another good hand I need to tell you about, and then I need to get going soon. The guy with the diamond, the sleeves on his fingers, like rings that are sleeves and there's diamonds. He's a cool young guy. I had raised with queen nine offsuit. I'll just, I'm in max destroy mode. I raised with queen nine offsuit, and it came ace, ace, seven, two spades. And I bet, in position small, and he check raised. And I was pretty sure he had a seven. And I called. And, I don't have a spade. It's ace, ace, seven, two. And, people say there are better hands to do this with. There aren't. The dealer only gave me one fucking hand. It was queen nine offsuit with no spade. So I just call. And the turn's a bad card for me. It's a spade because I can't really rep anything here. And he bets. I'm not going to fold. I'm going to call. I have queen nine, no spade. It's ace, ace, seven, two spades, X spades. And he check raised the flop, bet the turn. And the river's an ace. And he bets again. I know he has a seven. And I know my image is shit. I've been bluffing and showing and all this shit. So what I do is, he bet whatever. So do I have to fold? No, I'm going to 7X his river bet. Just really fucking big. And now he goes in the tank and he's like, show me one. I said, I'm not allowed to show you one. I know I'm allowed to show you one. I said, I'm not allowed to. And the dealer says, you could show him one. And so I looked down. I grabbed the queen, obviously, right? Because I want it to be ace, queen, or pocket queens. And I show him the queen. And everyone, knows I have ace, queen. The people at the table are just saying it, right? And he's like, well, maybe queens. And I have a seven, whatever. And he folds. And then I show him the bad news. And then this lady sits down who used to be a chip runner at Bellagio. And so there's two bell runners in this story. And she sits down and is playing erratic as fuck. And then she overboats me. And I lose about 1,000 to her. And it was getting blurry. And, she just really did something you don't see anymore right when she sat down. And then she overboated me and whatever. She deserved the double. And then I made a good fold to her. So she's, running hot now. And then I got to go. I played 6 hours. I won almost three lives, in total. And now we need to cash out, and then we got to run over to the Encore Sportsbook and check the STP scores. Okay. So let's go cash out. There you go. Yeah, I was down. Yeah, this is almost 5K, and I was down to 350. How did I do it? Well, I didn't do anything. The dealer started dealing off the top of the deck. No, I started running good. Thank you. Here's a tip. Okay. Now walk with me over to the Encore Sportsbook. Oh, look at that. New Mexican restaurant. Coming soon. Cool. Okay. All right. Now look up there under, see ST, there's NBA, NFL, all that shit. Look at STP. That's the one that matters right now. And the first line says hours 357 of 340. That makes sense because we had 345 hours after week 33, and I played 12 more in week 34. Six in the very swingy session you just heard about. This started in Red Chip Hell at the Venetian and ended at the Encore, right? And also, 6 hours in the first session I played this week, the night before at Ocean's 11, the biggest win I've had since I started this podcast over 3 years ago. I think I maybe had one bigger win, but I was playing only with a part of myself that night. Biggest win for me since I started this. It wasn't even that big. But anyways, if you want to hear about that session, and three of the four drops this week were private for patrons only on their RSS feeds. If you want to hear those and, generally, it's too private, too public. If you want to hear all the private stuff, all the old seasons, it's not that hard. You just go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and you sign up for $4.22 a month or more. And yeah, the weeks at the Hustler, coming up, you'll get all the public will get all the drops because I'm sponsored by the fucking Hustler, and so that's the deal. But yeah, in general, there's a lot of stuff you're missing if you don't have that RSS feed, and it's super easy. When you sign up, you get an email that says, here's how you connect your RSS feed. Thank you. Something I wrote up. I'm a boomer and I figured it out super easy. It's fine. All right, and then you can be part of the community that I talk about a lot too, only if you want, and that's easy as well. As soon as your first payment goes through, go to dgafcommunity.com, create a screen name and password, it'll let you in once you paid, and then you got access to all these amazing folk. Okay, now look up there under the second line under STP, it says poker eggs, 782 of 626. So we are crushing this number, but it appears we had a slow week, and all, you know, I got really good eyesight, so it's tiny, but I'll tell you who scored points for us in week 34, who the MVP was, and who got employee of the week. Matt in Elgin, Illinois got us a point. Thank you, Matt. Jack in Traverse City, Michigan, a point. Thank you, Jack. Tim in Huntley, Illinois, a point. Thanks, Tim. Jimmy Donuts in Fairfield, California, a point. Thank you, Jimmy Donuts. What's up, man? Cody in Chatsworth, California, a point. Mariana Poker, vlogger extraordinaire, the Garrett Alstein Jr., got us a point. Thank you, Mariano. And then, do you guys mind chanting a little bit? It's like, whatever, 6 in the morning. It's fine. Let's start chanting here in the outside the Encore Sportsbook. Can you guys chant MVP? And then I'll tell you who won MVP. Your week 34 most valuable purchaser from Bellevue, Washington, Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. 6 points, got MVP honors this week, and I don't even know if Joseph is a patron, and that's rare for a non-patron to win this award, so congratulations, and thank you, to everyone who ordered. It was a slow week for us, 12 total points, and you can see up there, I don't know if you can see it, but I can see it. It says, employee of the week, nah, y'all gotta earn that shit. Whoa, so Nevada Gaming Commission saying, you know, to the owners of Poker Eggs, 12 points is not enough. And I don't blame them, actually. But, everyone who put points on the board is literally part of the story. And if you, too, you know, would like to become part of the story by putting points on the board to hopefully keep this thing alive for another season, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the planet, head over to PokerEggs.us. And just start shopping and click on Team Poker Eggs. And if you click on that and then click on DGAF, anything you buy from there is worth 2 points instead of 1 point. Okay. The third score under STP says results 72 of 69. So got 2 wins this week. That's 3 wins in a row and 46 wins and 22 losses on the year. It's whatever. Okay. It's ahead of pace, though. That's good. All right. So the fourth score under STP says Patrons 328 of 340. So we're closing the gap here. Let's see what happened. Okay, you probably can't see it, but I can see it. It says Mark Klang came in at $51 a month. Wow. Mark Klang was on the first stream that I ever did for Hustler Casino Live and must have listened back to it, maybe checked out the pod and joined Patreon page, and he's been active in the community a little bit, and welcome, man. You are cut from the same cloth as many in the community, and greatly appreciate that big splash. And then Marley Cordero came in. Very nice. Marley's a friend of mine, and I think she signed up while we were at a bar at some point. It was a little blurry. Thank you very much, Marley. They each get 4 points on the board. Devin came in. That's 4 more points. Thank you, Devin. And then someone who was at 50 a month went to 844 a month. Totally fine. Sent me a note, said it's not the content. It's my life situation. And I said, well, I greatly appreciate whatever it is. And I greatly appreciate the notice. Just makes me feel better. You know, I'm a sensitive little boy, but you don't need to send me a note. But he did, and that was great. Okay. And then Ritman was at 51 a month and went to 7770. Fuck, that's pretty strong. Thank you, Ritman. And then someone deleted, and they also did an exit survey. They said they were getting out of gambling. Okay, fair enough. That's -4 for us. But luckily, Douglas came in, and that's 4 more. So we got 4 for Mark Klang, 4 for Marley, 4 for Devin, and that's 12. And then we lost 4, and then Douglas came in, and that replaced the 4. 12 points. That's good. Only need to get 10 points a week, and we got 12. And that's strong, and I'm feeling good about that. And now it's just time for the score, and then, you know, we'll say our goodbyes. The fifth and final line under STP It's the consolidation of the four scores you just heard about. It's called Countdown to 2022, because if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, Sessions lives on next year in 2022. All right, this one says 1539 of 1375. So we're more than on pace to keep this podcast alive. And we're 68% of the way through our journey. I think that's the correct math on that, right, Sound Guy? 34 weeks of 50 is 68%. You don't know? Okay, whatever, man. All right, so that's pretty strong. And before we say, you know, our official goodbyes, I want to give a special thanks to everyone who has put points on this Save the Princess scoreboard in this Make or Break Season 4. It really is. If we don't get enough points, I have to, you know, call it quits on my dream of being a podcaster, but it looks like we're going to get it. And I want to thank all the patrons, of course, for their continued support. You all are something, and I will see all of you patrons on Monday, and the rest of you on Thursday for week 35 of season 4 of Sessions, titled Just Revving. And whether you're a patron or not, whether you typically listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Great folks, them savages. Okay, peace. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.